Hey, everybody, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Invest Podcast. I'm here today with Jonathan Chester. He is the CEO of Bitwage, who are the crypto payments provider. Jonathan, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. So crypto payments, how exactly does this work?
Yeah, sure. I mean, what I like to say is that we're the leader in Bitcoin, crypto, and stablecoin payroll, invoicing, and benefit services. So what does that mean? How do I break it down? Basically, if you're someone who wanted to receive part of their salary, part of their paycheck, a part of their, you know, invoices from clients, in any percentage, in any mix of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, we're the platform that facilitates that. We have both a B2B and a B2C service. B2B being, let's say you're a company and you want mass payouts with Bitcoin or crypto, or you want to offer the benefit of paying your employees a part of their salary in Bitcoin or crypto. We enable that in a seamless, easy fashion. Alternatively, let's say you wanted to receive part of your salary in Bitcoin, but you work for Facebook or Google, and that organization is not opted to actually onboard directly with us. You can actually start that today through our B2C product, where you would sign up. We'd give you access to essentially a direct depository account, and you could connect that as one of your sort of multiple direct deposits. So you could, for instance, have 80% go into your checking and 20% go into your Bitcoin direct deposit account. The funds would hit there. And then we have an additional sort of depository layer where you can say, I want all of my Bitcoin to go into my ledger, or I want half, you know, of the my set of those funds to be Bitcoin on a Bitcoin debit card, and the other half I want Ethereum on an exchange that I can trade. Or I can, you know, if I'm in another country, say I want 100% of that in, you know, dollar-backed stable coins sent to my wallet in, let's say, Argentina, where then I can actually hold on to dollars instead of my local currency and then sell it for local currency when I need to buy the goods that I want. That's kind of how it works.
Okay, so you guys offer a whole bunch of not only currencies, but options about where to put them. So you mentioned like Argentina there. Obviously, they're seeing pretty outrageous inflation at the moment. And well, I guess the dollar is kind of crushing all currencies at the moment. Like, have you seen a big pickup in people like taking payments in US stablecoins?
Yeah, stablecoins is actually a very large part of our business right now. So if we look at how our business evolves during crypto markets, and we have a lot of data on this. Bitwage has actually been around since 2014, so this is kind of like the third bear market for Bitwage to exist in terms of cryptocurrency.
That's early.
and so we actually have quite a good amount of data on how people react as it pertains to, you know, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency payroll preferences and salary preferences. During the bull markets, we see a lot more enthusiasm around the volatile currencies, right? Because everyone's kind of get it going in, right? That's kind of what happens during a bull market, is everyone kind of goes in. And so we see a very fast adoption on that side of the market. Of course, it does tend to lag an exchange. Right, because an exchange is instant gratification. You get that instant gratification monkey. You go in, you click the button, you buy. This, you kind of make the decision. I'm not just going in and doing a one-time buy. I'm deciding to employ like a dollar cost average strategy with my paycheck, so that I can, you know, slowly buy it over a long period of time. Right. So we get that lag, but we still see that growth. Then when the bear market comes, you know, and all that enthusiasm kind of goes away, we don't see quite as many companies adopting or looking for, you know, products to help their employees receive a part of their salary in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. But what we do see is that people don't stop doing it. So the people who kind of come on and said, I'm going to get part of my salary in this, they actually continue to do that. So that's what we're seeing today, is that, you know, once you've kind of made that decision, you actually continue to do that. And part of the reason is because when people are getting part of their salary in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, they're not taking as large of a position up front. So they're not as negatively impacted when the bear market comes. And when you've actually made this decision, you like the bear market, because now all of a sudden you feel like you're getting a discount, right? At the same time, going to the core of your question, which is, are we seeing a lot of adoption around stablecoins? Yes. Yes, we do. It's not around the people who, let's say in the US or in Europe or the UK, decide to get a portion of their salary in cryptocurrency. It's actually companies that are paying workers globally. Because as you had mentioned today, the dollar is pretty much strengthening against everything. And so in a lot of countries where people are not necessarily don't have a high degree of confidence in their local currencies, which is most countries in the world, have more demand for dollars. People want to save in dollars, right? And often it becomes hard to do some. There often can be a liquidity crunch as a result of that. And so people are then turning to stable coins. And we're enabling people to get paid in those stable coins. And we are seeing a great deal of that demand, especially around Latin America. And we're seeing a little bit in Africa as well.
That's very, very cool. Yeah, because I guess it's one of the biggest macro trends right now. And even when you say like Latin America and Africa and all that, like I spent a good portion of this year in Latin America, and you can see the currencies there, but it's the big currencies as well. Like if you look at the euro, like I'm Irish, so I use the euro, and like that was 120 or so last year. Mm-hmm. And like now the dollar is literally worth more than a euro, which is just insane. So I guess that's the power of something like this, and the power of what giving greater access to dollar stable coins and letting people kind of take more control over the wealth. Like I guess it's one of the core pillars of cryptocurrency when you really get down to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are a lot of pillars of cryptocurrency that one can sort of break down. But that's one of the core things that we sort of believe in, which is, you know, giving people the freedom to get paid the way that they want to get paid, right? I think that, in a lot of more developed nations, a lot of people think, okay, well, I want to get paid in something stable and secure, which is, you know, my own local currency, right? Of course, this is changing. People are seeing and are more and more interested in getting, you know, 5 or 10% of their salary, something a little bit, you know, different because of perhaps inflation or because of, you know, people just generally losing purchasing power and not getting higher salaries, right? But when you look into places like Latin America and Africa, it's not the same thing when you think, I want to get paid in something safe and stable, right? Because people are not thinking, oh, I'm saving my money in Argentine peso, in Brazilian real, in Nigerian naira, right? People are thinking that this is what I need to pay my taxes and to buy goods at the store. But if I want to actually like save my money and feel like I'm actually, you know, preserving my money 5-10 years from now, they're not looking at things like this. And in fact, a lot of these places, they'll actually price big ticket items in dollars, right? Like a house. A lot of people will actually price it in dollars and not in the local currency because of the volatility and the inflation of the local currency involved. So getting a portion of or your entire salary in a stable coin or in something like Bitcoin or cryptocurrency becomes a lot more attractive, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, the thing that is least risky for them is a whole lot riskier for us. And what we've seen is that when sort of the least risky thing is more risky, you're willing to take on more risk.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. I like the way you say diversification there. It's cool that like it's not like people have to jump in and take 100% of their salary in dollars or whatever Bitcoin. Like you can chop it up and kind of diversify yourself. Like even if you look at like the pound, for example, has depreciated 17% this year against the dollar. That's just enormous. Like, but if you're kind of diversifying that between a few currencies, you're obviously lowering your exposure much more there. Let me ask you this then. What kind of cut does Bitwage take, or how did Bitwage make their money?
Yeah. So pretty much the way that it works, it depends on the currency that you're getting. But we're typically making about 1% on domestic transactions and 2% on international transactions. And those will either be in fees or in spreads between sort of mid-market rates and the exchange rate that you get. It just depends on whether there's an FX involved and whether it's a domestic or international transaction.
Okay, and so that's like all inclusive to like end up like say I want to get paid like half in Ether and I want it to go to like this exchange or something. That's like all inclusive, is it?
Yeah, it's all inclusive. Yep. I guess so if you get like an ERC-20 token, then sometimes we do pass on the gas fees for that. But for actually Ethereum, for a few stable coins, for Bitcoin, it's all inclusive. We do have minimums.
1-2%
you can't get under, you can't get less than $10 though. Cause then it's not possible for us to kind of deposit on chain and cover that cost for you.
That seems pretty reasonable though. 1-2%. Like if you think about like what the market kind of shows you in foreign exchange fees, like Forex fees and, like the other things like moving them around to certain wallets or whatever, like it does seem reasonable overall. And then there's obviously a massive convenience to it and it's on a monthly basis. I'm kind of surprised to be honest at how low the fees are.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's a very, very competitive structure, right? Because you set it up, you don't think about it, you're going to get better fees than like any sort of easy to use system that you have on the market. And it's going to go directly into the system that you want and you can have, you know, multiple splits. And I think that that's very important. You know, right now we're kind of in the early days of crypto, not like, you know, we're not in like the earliest cypherpunk days, but we still haven't, you know, crossed the chasm into mainstream adoption. But one of the things that we're seeing now is that more and more mainstream institutions are starting to adopt this. And in 5 years, we're going to see, you know, major banks, you know, major fintechs, major tech companies, all having their own cryptocurrency wallets, right? I mean, we already see PayPal has their own wallet. Facebook, yeah. Meta, they're going to have their own wallet, right? Google just did some partnership with Coinbase. So all these organizations are going to have their wallets, and we're going to go from a time when people don't have wallets and trying to figure out what they're doing to being kind of like how everyone has their own bank account, right? You have your bank account. That's the one you use. That's the one you want to get paid into, right? Any system that you have for helping move money faster, it's to go into your main or maybe your main one or two, you know, bank accounts that you have. You're going to have a similar system where you're going to have your main cryptocurrency wallets. You know, maybe you're going to have a few, one's for spending, one for trading, one for saving, something like that, right? And these are just going to be your preferred wallets. You're not going to want to have like every system and any system that's direct depositing or paying, you know, cryptocurrency to you to have force you into its own wallet. And all of a sudden you have like 50 different wallets that you got to be managing, right? Our system, it's kind of built for that future where you have your preferred wallets and you get to direct deposit into any wallet that you want, which is the wallets that are your wallets.
Yeah, I always say that like one of the areas I think crypto really needs to improve on, and I'm sure it will, is the wallet experience. Like I still think it's so clunky, and like for someone who's not, like fair enough if you're kind of crypto native and you're used to it, but like for someone coming into the first time and trying to make an on-chain transfer, and you know, remember your CRAs and like making sure you send it on the right blockchain to the right address. Like, it can be quite intimidating, I think. So yeah, I think that the wallet experience will morph entirely within the next 5 years, personally. I noticed you recently announced a 401k plan, which for the benefit of the non-American investors is a defined contribution pension plan. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, yes. Let me just explain, you know, two different parts to it. One is how is it valuable for the person who's actually participating in the plan, and then also for the sponsor, the employer as well. So if we look at the participant, right, if you think about a 401k, right, it's really a tax incentivized plan. And there are two different options, main options that people like to think about, which is traditional and Roth. So we go to traditional. If we think about traditional, you know, the way that the plan works is you put in money with pre-tax dollars. So you have more money to begin with. All the trades that you do is deferred, right? And this is a benefit for a lot of cryptocurrency traders because, you know, oftentimes you're doing a lot of trades, right? So you can have to deal with a lot of capital gains, even capital losses, just have to deal with the reporting. And sometimes you even have income, right, from staking, right? So a lot of that can be very complicated and maybe turn into a tax bill that you weren't expecting at the end of the year. And so you get all that completely deferred inside the traditional environment. And then ultimately, when you retire, you get to pull the money out, and then you do get taxed on that money coming out. But the theory is that you will be in a lower tax bracket in the future when you're making no other income besides that compared to what you're doing now, right? And also what you're doing when you do your trades directly. So there's that benefit, but there's also the Roth side of it, which I like a little bit more, which is you put in money post-tax. So you do have less money to begin with, but instead of having a deferred tax at the end, what you're going to have is is no tax at the end when you do a qualified withdrawal, you know, after retirement. So that means that all the trades you do, all the gains that you have, there is no tax at all on that, which I think is really great given where we are today in the cryptocurrency world, which is, you know, early still, not totally adopted by the mainstream. So that's kind of the benefit there, right? If we look at the plan sponsor, the employer side of this, the whole goal here is to create one throat to choke, really, right? A seamless experience, a one-stop shop for all of your benefits that you're offering to your employees related to cryptocurrency, right? Because really employers don't want to deal with the administrative work of working with multiple different systems all at once. It creates more overhead, creates more costs. And really, you just want to offer the benefits so that, you know, you're able to make your employees happy, retain them, maybe make it easier for you to hire new employees, while making sure and ensuring that you have the highest degree of compliance and the lowest risk possible with all of that. So that's what we're bringing with this sort of payroll 401k combined product offering.
Okay, interesting. So it's again just like kind of more flexibility, but allowing people to, I guess, shift into crypto and whatever else they want to within their pensions. Are you noticing a lot of demand? Like, did this come from institutions? Did this come from retail? Like, where's most of the demand coming from?
Yeah, so the demand, I find, I mean, we see both sides, but I certainly see a lot of employers that have been interested in this product offering. So we actually kind of did a beta. We've been in a beta for over a couple of years now, and we were testing with some other partners. What we ended up finding during that process is that there were a lot of people who were very interested in the offering, mainly because the 401k in the United States is a little bit easier for like employers and HR organizations to understand than partial salary benefits in cryptocurrency. What we ultimately ended up seeing, though, is that organizations would start with that payroll product, and then we would move them into the 401k. And the reason for that is because there's a greater deal of regulation around the 401k, because we are talking about tax incentives, we're talking about retirement, right? Both of these are very important but touchy subjects, right, regulatorily. And so we kind of saw this sort of path. But a lot of employers come to us asking about this kind of retirement product. On the employee side, they like both. And you know, part of the reason is because, you know, it's so easy to get started using us. The other part of the reason is because with the retirement funds, you know, you're holding those funds until you retire, right? Whereas if you're doing it, you know, just direct payroll, you can spend it whenever you want. So it kind of also has to do with time preference, right? What's your time horizon? Are you looking to do something for a year, for 5 years, for 10 years, or 20 to 40 years, right? When we are seeing this, you know, people are actually typically thinking about doing some kind of a split between payroll and 401k.
Yeah, that's because I guess, yeah, it's when the time horizon is so long with a 401k or a pension compared to your payroll, it opens up all sorts of new possibilities, especially with crypto when it's so volatile. Like when people ask me, oh, like, should I buy crypto or whatnot? And I'm like, the first thing I ask is, what's your time horizon? Because if you're trying to buy a house this time next year, or you're trying to, like, I don't know, send your kid to college or something later this year, like, crypto is the worst possible thing you could buy given the volatility. So when you bring in that 401k and it's like whatever, a 10-year, 20-year time horizon, like, just opens up all sorts of possibilities. So it's interesting that, because I always thought it was just like again, what you say, such a regulatory nightmare to get crypto as one of these plans, into one of these plans, because they are like so heavily or so dense when it comes to tax and regulation and on all the rest of it.
Yes. And I think that, you know, one thing you mentioned, which is pension, you know, this is a very, very different instrument than the 401k, right? Because there are defined contribution and defined benefit plans, right? Defined benefit basically defines what you're going to receive. Defined contribution defines what you're going to put in. And so a pension is a defined benefit plan, right? So they're telling you, you're getting this much, and it's up to us to figure out how to get it for you. Right, defined contribution is you're putting in this much, you know, we're going to put in some sort of like guardrails around it so that, you know, you don't like completely lose all of your money, but it's kind of more up to you to do it. The benefit being that you know how much money you have there, right? This is your money. You know how much it is, a lot would have to kind of go wrong with the system for you to lose that money. Whereas in the defined benefit plan, there's more of like, you know how much you're going to get. And as long as the system kind of continues to work, you're going to get it. But you kind of have this like higher degree of third party risk, because you're no longer just trusting a custodian, but you're also trusting like a financial advisor who is directly, who you know, directly controls all the money. And makes all the decisions, you know, who presumably is good, but, you know, what we see is that, you know, there's a lot of precariousness in the entire structure, especially as people are getting older and older, right? It just increases the risk of the ability for the pensions to continue to pay out, right? I think that getting cryptocurrency into a 401k versus a pension is it's a very different thing, because in a pension, you know, you just have so many more people who are sort of almost like blindly trusting these financial advisors, as opposed to, you know, an individual making their individual choice around what to invest in. Of course, there needs to be guardrails in place in both scenarios, but we're still talking about a greater degree of risk because people can potentially get much more blindsided through the pension route than through the 401k route.
Yeah, 100%. You're absolutely correct. I think we have slightly different terminology for it outside of the US. We just say, like, yeah, you have two branches of pension, defined contribution, defined benefit. So we actually don't have 401ks. But yeah, you're absolutely correct. Like the amount of risk that comes in is obviously way bigger in a defined contribution. And I'm here in London at the moment. So just last week was when the Bank of England had to step in to buy up all the gilts to stop the pensions going under. So I think people here are well aware of that. But yeah, I want to ask for because you mentioned your rent since 2014, which is decades ago in cryptocurrency years. Have you seen, like, and obviously being in crypto payroll solutions, have you seen a noticeable uptick over the years? And if so, like, how much bigger in the last couple of years has it been in with people trying to get paid in crypto?
Yeah. So I mean, it's 2020 was, like, really quite a change. But, you know, if we go back in time, let me just think about trying to remember the trends. So in 2014, you know, we had that sort of Mt. Gox crash that happened. And after that, and that and Silk Road kind of happened within a few months of each other. And after that happened, Bitcoin became this very dirty word. You know, you couldn't use the word Bitcoin, really. Yeah. I mean, yeah, for like the people who actually knew about it and wanted it, you know, you could. And we had people who were getting paid, you know, because of it. But when we were talking to, like, investors or other sort of stakeholders, that were more institutional, you couldn't use the word Bitcoin. Bitcoin was, like, this really, like, dirty, weird word. Like, if you were doing something with Bitcoin, it had to do with, like, you know, hackers and drugs and all this crazy stuff, right? Because that's what people knew about it back then. And so it had to always be about blockchain, right? It was always about blockchain. Blockchain was kind of the conversation that you had to have back then. And, you know, when back then, Ethereum was also really not a thing either, right? We're talking, you know, I think 2014, it was just white paper status at that point. Then there was the 2017 bubble or resurgence. And that's when ICOs kind of blew up and Bitcoin blew up. And really the conversation changed, because from 2014 to 2017, everyone was talking about blockchain. And blockchain basically didn't become a thing, right? That people thought it was going to be, but cryptocurrency exploded, and all of a sudden Bitcoin was now very cool. Cryptocurrency was now very cool, and now you could talk about this kind of stuff. But even then, during that time, you know, it was still a little bit early for Bitcoin and cryptocurrency payroll. We didn't see a lot of demand. You know, we were growing an okay amount. And then when that bear market hit in 2018, you know, things kind of plateaued. We were a 10-person team. We had hit profitability, but we just weren't growing from, like, 2018 until, you know, the beginning of 2020. Then COVID hits, you know, people are, you know, and terrible things are happening. You know, we see drops in volume, but of course, we get the cryptocurrency boom, we get the remote work boom, we get, at least in the United States, this effect called the Great Resignation, where, you know, essentially corporations were having lots of issues, like, retaining and hiring people. And all of a sudden, the demand for cryptocurrency payroll just exploded, right? So we've been growing since then 100% year over year. We expanded our team from 10 people to 30 people and basically closed $3 million seed round. So, yeah, the business has been, you know, great since then. And I don't think that it's going to be changing. You know, because we just have started to see the beginning of the movement towards cryptocurrency payroll. Again, it's not completely mainstream, but there are plenty of people who I think are interested in cryptocurrency, hasn't really, you know, made the jump yet. But if they knew, oh, I could get, you know, $20 or $50 in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency through a service recommended by my employer and offered by my employer, sure, I'd set that up, maybe run it for a year and see how it goes, right? And I think that's going to be, you know, a big push into mainstream adoption and really introducing and getting people introduced to this kind of thing. Because at least in the United States, the 401k is kind of the first time that people learn, you know, get into investing. 401k offered by their employer, and often they don't even know what it is or what they're really doing.
Yeah.
They just kind of know that they're investing. So I'm expecting this to have a similar effect.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, I guess we're nearly out of time, but yeah, it's like for someone like I've kind of bounced around various countries this year, so I'm kind of well aware of the exchange rates and how the dollar is just crushing every other currency. And like for me, yeah, it's the fact that you can diversify between currencies, and the fact that you guys offer stable coins as well, which is cool. So I do think it's quite a powerful product. And yeah, I guess, well, we're out of time, but I'll throw some links in the description if anyone's interested in looking into Bitwage further, or and our Twitters as always will be there. But yeah, thanks for coming on the show, Jonathan.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dan.